This is Fire Through Spirit with Corby Mittlein. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Corby Mittlein.
Evening, folks. As the sun is beginning to slide down the sky, we're losing a lot of our high summer, late sunlight, and we're sliding toward fall. I'll tell you, here in the Northeast, summer is a spark and winter is a long slog. So I'm enjoying what I can as long as I can. Tonight we're going to continue to reinvent the radio. Every other month, I'm going to be sitting here on my little onesies and talking to you about a subject for discussion that I think is important. It'll often be from my own experience. And I'm going to want you to weigh in. I know a lot of you just like to sit back and listen. Some of you won't listen until after the live show is on podcast, and that's okay. But when I talk about a subject that's important, it's not just me talking in a vacuum. We need your input. Argue, agree, offer a different viewpoint. All of it's great, but it's what is really needed for tonight. Now, if you went to the Empower Radio website, you saw that the title of this is Lightworkers Are Human Too. And that's something that I have to talk about, because this came from an incident that happened recently with me. I make it a point, virtually all the time, never to diss another psychic, because that's part of what I call bitchcraft. But even I slip, even when I don't mean to. So without going into a bunch of the details, there was an intuitive that I worked with for quite some time and was a mentor to. For whatever reason, the mentorship and the friendship was released. And when I read that another intuitive was having trouble with the same person, I made a comment. Now, mind you, no names were mentioned. We didn't say, yeah, Madam Hoo-Ha is really terrible, isn't she? Yeah, I don't like her. But the universe has a way of getting information back to people, especially if you use Facebook. And even though this person had defriended me and Allie, basically somebody who was watching for this woman let her know, and it caused a huge blow up, personally and somewhat professionally. Now, I talked about this a little bit on my Facebook page, admitting that I had truly made a mistake, even though the name wasn't mentioned. And it was the universe's way of looking at me and saying, so are you walking your talk or not? And I had to own it. So then someone else said to me, well, you know, people look up to us. They look to us for answers. So I think that all of us should just be positive, say positive things, never tell them if we have a problem, they're not interested, etc. And this is another intuitive that I not only respect, but love to bits. But I disagree with this intuitive, and I wanted to talk about why. Too many times, people come to me and say, oh, but the psychic said thus and such, as if we are never wrong. Yet one of the things that I often say is, look, even the best of us are only 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and he's not doing phone readings, or he's not doing a psychic fair, he's not doing psychic parties this week. And people laugh. But it is true. We are human. Just as a doctor can make a mistake, a lawyer can botch a case, somebody on a factory line can screw up a car and it needs to be recalled. It doesn't mean these people are evil. It doesn't mean that they're awful. It doesn't mean they should be immediately kicked out of whatever they do. People make mistakes. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. How I view them, and also the important thing is, especially since we're talking about intuitives, if you are a professional of any kind, and you've got a story to tell us, that's wonderful. If you are a client who has had to deal with a psychic who made a mistake or another professional who made a mistake, then that's what I want to talk about. So let me give you a couple of my thoughts. You have to admit your mistakes. When you don't, it gets compounded. It's going back to the idea of radical authenticity, which I talk about when I talk about with option. When we don't admit our mistakes, we have to cover them up. We have to remember who we covered them up with. We have to deny part of who we are and part of our life. And that's inauthentic. So admitting mistakes isn't bad. It doesn't necessarily mean, see, I'm awful. It means, yep, I own I could have done it better. And then you learn from it. Mistakes make us real, not bad. And all of you who are professionals, in whatever manner, I want to remind you of that. When we make mistakes at work, I know when I did, when I was a legal assistant, and the boss had to call me on it, I was convinced I was going to get fired, and that he thought I was an idiot, and I would panic and shake in my boots. And usually, I made it much bigger than it was. When I would say, yes, John, I agree, botch that one. How can I fix it? Notice, how can I fix it? What can I do to make it right? That usually mitigated things right there. On the other hand, what's important to me is also don't own a mistake if there isn't one. It is never a mistake, in my opinion, to ask for money owed, to call someone on it if they take material from your website without permission, if they take one of your clients, if they don't behave professionally, okay? Calling them on it doesn't mean you made the mistake. There is an example. There was someone at a show I did. It was a husband-wife team. They were new, and he didn't. We are all family at this particular show with these particular promoters. Nobody disses anybody else. Nobody says, I'm a better psychic than Swami Swalanda over there. And what this person did is when a couple of young girls came up to them and said, well, we're not sure that we got a good reading from so-and-so over there, and just pointed at one of the other psychics. Now, that may be, like I say, we're not perfect. But what this person did is said, well, that's because the only really good psychic in the room, the only real psychic in the room is, and pointed to his wife behind him. Now, was he called on it? Absolutely. That was a mistake that needed to be talked about. I didn't make a mistake by calling him on it. That wasn't bitchcraft. That was trying to hold us all to a particular standard, and I want you to understand that. Also, sometimes my clients hear what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. That's part of my job. So when they say, well, I didn't like my reading because I thought that this was going to tell me what I was supposed to do with my life, and instead you showed me that I had to make my own decisions, and that isn't what I paid for. It may not be what you paid for, but it is how we do it. No psychic should ever tell you, well, your purpose in life is X. Because if they do, they take away your life journey. And that's not something useful. I'll use myself as an example. If someone had told me when I was much younger, well, your purpose in life is to take the severe illnesses that you're going to have and turn your life around and teach with them. What 20-year-old wants to hear that she's going to have several severe illnesses? It would be like hell to the no, and I would run from it. It might make it more difficult for me to do my own life lesson. Mistakes are part of your life lessons. Let me tell you that. Listen again. Mistakes are part of your life lessons. That's how we learn. That's how we chip away at that which we don't see as us. Somebody once said to some famous sculptor, and I don't remember who, "That's a beautiful camel. How did you begin?" And he said, "I chipped away everything that didn't look like a camel." And it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Mistakes help us chip away at everything that is not our true and authentic selves, if we own them and we recognize what they are. So when you work with me on something like Sentence of Passion, the main tools are looking at your life, where you've made your mistakes, where you've had your triumphs, where you keep stumbling, patterns that keep pointing you in a particular direction. When you put all those together like a good recipe, then you see what your sentence of passion is, what you want to work on from here. And that's what's important, okay? Accidental versus deliberate mistakes. What I did with the psychic that I mentioned on Facebook was an accidental mistake. I did not say, "I want to really screw this person." A deliberate mistake is when someone deliberately says, "Yes, I'll pick you up," and deliberately forgets it. It's a good way that people bully. A client that I had to deal with when they were a child, they invited everybody in their class to a party at their house. This client was not the popular person, so everybody said yes. About 45 kids, and she was so excited, and the house was ready, and the food was ready, and her parents were excited for her, and no one came. 45 people deliberately decided that this person was not worth their time, and let's show her. Those are deliberate mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Now, what about apologies? Well, if I make a mistake, shouldn't I say something about it? Shouldn't I apologize? Well, it's nice if you can, but sometimes they just compound things. If I went to this person, tried to apologize, number one, would they believe me? Possibly not. Would it remind them of what happened when they may have gone on? That's true also. So the apology you make, if an apology will just compound the problem, you make it to them on the astral. You ask their forgiveness in prayer. Because remember, a lot of you and a lot of them are still up there, sharing a bag of popcorn, watching what's going on. On the astral, we don't argue with each other. This person and I are just fine. It is the personalities that have the problem. So I ask my higher self to apologize to hers. I acknowledge my mistake, and I use it to go on to make sure I don't do it again. There are a couple of quotes that I like. The first one, believe it or not, is by Johnny Cash. You build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone, and you close the door on the past. You don't try to forget the mistakes, but you don't dwell on it. You don't let it have any of your energy or any of your time or any of your space. And that is important. And from Richard Bach, there are no mistakes. The events we bring upon ourselves, no matter how unpleasant, are necessary in order to learn what we need to learn. Whatever steps we take, they're necessary to reach the places we've chosen to go. So, how do we look at this? What is forgiveness versus radical forgiveness? Forgiveness can sometimes be, well, it's okay that you did it, and you could do it again. It's, you know, I get it. That's just where you are. No. Radical forgiveness is what Johnny Cash and Richard Bach are talking about. It's where you say, I totally release the energy. You can totally release the energy. We are totally taking it out of our lives, and we're going on from here. And that also makes the difference, guru versus mentor. Gurus will never admit they're wrong unless they're called on it by their disciples, by their congregation. A mentor is someone who admits to his humanity. Now, I'm not saying that all gurus are bad. In this case, I'm using guru as the idea of they believe that they don't stink, that they're always right, and they believe their own press. Okay? Remember what I say about mentors. Mentors push you out of the nest a little before you're ready to go, push you a little farther than you think you can go, and when you get an award for being better at what they do than they are, they're in the audience applauding. So a mentor will admit to mistakes and hope that both of you learn from it. Now, as I said, I'm hoping that people are going to call in for talking about problems, mistakes they've made, mistakes they've had to deal with other people, the reality of humanity. The number, as always, is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. Your calls are going to be what make the show. I want to read you a piece from Phil Holberton. It's called Gaining Respect by Admitting Mistakes. Perhaps it could be said that a mistake a day makes us human, and there have been some days when I would be happy with just one mistake. No matter the frequency, we all make mistakes in both our personal and professional lives. In many instances, our first response when confronting a mistake is to deny it or make up an excuse. We don't want to seem stupid or ill-informed or cruel. However, we have to recognize the maxim that to err is human. And when we accept this, we must have the self-confidence and integrity to admit our mistakes. Only with such admission will we maintain the trust of those we lead. And for me, that is those who come to us for answers, for clarity, and for help on their journey. When I, we're back to Phil Holberton, have made a mistake that has upset an individual, a simple apology can go a long way. In business, we make decisions every day based upon imperfect information. We may get blindsided by a competitive response, or we may underestimate the time it takes. Accepting our error rather than avoiding responsibility limits the potential damage and sets the right course. Poor decisions regarding our behavior that compromise our credibility with employees or constituents or followers are particularly damaging. All of us who work in a corporate life have experienced a downsizing, either as the architect or the recipient. Often I think about the importance of honesty in communicating with our followers up to and through these trying events. When difficult matters are at hand, honesty is the best policy. Sugarcoating the facts or intentionally misleading people will not earn respect, but instead will foster disrespect. We are all human beings, imperfect and prone to making mistakes. We grow and improve by learning from our mistakes. Admitting mistakes is not easy, but as those of us who have done it in the past can attest, there is a cleansing feeling after admitting wrong, almost as if the weight has been lifted off our shoulders. Making mistakes is unavoidable. Whether in our personal or professional lives, the manner with which we handle our errors make all the difference. The good leaders will admit mistakes and move on. The great leaders will admit mistakes, learn from it, and never make it again. So as you're listening, I want you to take a moment. We're going to do a little bit of a visualization. I want you to think about a mistake you've made, whether it was not being honest with someone, whether it was not behaving the way you knew you needed to, whether it was assuming that an action of yours would not hurt someone, but it did. Take a minute to riffle through. We all have one that we always remember, that always stings. We don't like to think about it. We shrink away from it. And if that happens, how do you handle it? How did you handle it? What can you do right now to change it? Imagine that you have the person that hurt, the person that you did this to, in front of you. What would you say to them? Would you admit the mistake? Would you try to mitigate it? Would you point out to them, well, if you hadn't done X, I wouldn't have done Y, which is kind of passing the buck. If you knew that right now, whatever apology you make will both reach that person on the astral and heal that part of your own soul that was bruised by the mistake, what would you say? Take the minute. Go inside and feel that. And tell this person what you've learned, how you've changed, and ask forgiveness. Then, flip the coin. Think about someone who hurt you. And in retrospect, you realized that it was poor judgment on their part, but it wasn't deliberately nasty. What would you want to hear from them? And what can you offer them in return that will help let go of the mistakes, of the hurt, of the bruising? Mistakes are really, we have two sides of the coin. The one who made the mistake and the one who was, if you will, the object of the mistake, the receiver of the mistaken behavior. When it's our mistake, then it's up to us to offer rectification either physically to the person or spiritually, asking forgiveness, their higher self and our higher self. If another mistake has been made with us, we have a right to say, not happy with this. This is what I think would have been fair. But at the same time, don't hold a grudge. When you hold a grudge, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. Mistakes are two sides, the one who made the mistake and the one who can offer the forgiveness, the one who needs to apologize and the one who can accept it and help them learn. We're going to be back on the other side of the break. Again, I am looking for calls from those of you who will share a mistake that you've made, or if a professional has made a mistake, how you dealt with it. Did you feel their honesty was important, or did you think, well, I can't deal with them again? 248-809-3475. Coming back from break on Fire Through Spirit.
to Empower Radio. For a complete archive of Fire Through Spirit, visit empowerradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline next on Empower Radio.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Now, back to Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline.
Welcome back to Fire Through Spirit. I'm your host, Corby Midline, and tonight is one of our every other month solo discussions. It's just me. The only guests I have are you, which is why it's important that you call in, share your thoughts, 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. What we're talking about tonight is mistakes. Can a professional admit to them? Is it important if they do? Does it affect how clients deal with them? How important are mistakes in our life? And frankly, they're one of our best teachers. Barry Kaufman from the Option Institute, who I quote often, says, "There are no failures, there are only rerouted opportunities." And that's how I want you to look at mistakes. When we take a look at what we do, we know we have a certain direction we want to go. We know that we have a certain level we want to hold ourselves to, and we don't make it. It doesn't mean you're never going to get there. Okay? A lot of people think, oh, I've made one mistake, I can't bother. No, you got to, as they say, get back on the horse. Steve Harvey says failure is a great teacher. And I think when you make mistakes and you recover from them and you treat them as valuable learning experiences, then you've got something to share. And that's the point. Normally, I'm very, very upbeat. And people go to my lectures and they laugh and they learn lots of things, and that's great. But at the same time, a lot of the stories I tell are on myself for things that I didn't do well or botched or didn't look at in a useful way. And that is when I make my connection with the audience. I very often laugh and say, and this is no offense to anybody from Atlanta who's blonde or wealthy, I am not a size 2 blonde from Atlanta with a trust fund. The kind of person that looks like they never had a problem in their life. I'm not. I've had mistakes. My body is scarred from the cancer dance that I've done. There are other ways that I could have taken better care of myself or my business or my family or whatever. But it doesn't make me a bad person. Doesn't mean I'm a failure. Doesn't mean I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing as a psychic. Frankly, a lot of people come to us for life advice. When we can understand, we have empathy, not just sympathy, then we can help them look at their life better. Again, let's use the weight thing. Let's say that you've struggled with your weight all your life, and you go to a nutritionist to help understand. And she's never had problems with her weight. She's never had any kind of a food addiction. She's always been right on target as far as you can see. And she says, oh, it's simple. Just do this and this and this. Would you feel like she gets you? No. What's another way of saying compassion? I am you. One of the most powerful teachers when it comes to things like emotional eating, binging, not really using food properly, is Jeanine Roth, whom I admire. Her books are based on the mistakes that she made, how she didn't treat herself well, how she put the wrong emphasis on food, how she blew it. And she has also taught not only that, but since then, she and her husband were two of the people that invested with Bernie Madoff. And she lost everything, 30 years of her work. The money was down the tubes. So she talked about that as well and how you learn from that. Not, oh my God, they're going to think I'm an idiot. But even to me, this can happen. And if it can happen to me, someone you look up to, if it happens to you, you're just normal too. We are all normal. Nobody is down here perfect, or frankly, you wouldn't be down here. It's like when people say, do I really have a spirit guide? Do I really have an angel? Guys, you're not smart enough to do this all by yourselves. We all need help. And whether it's a spirit guide or whether it's an angel or whether it is another human being on the road with us, they learn from our mistakes. We learn from theirs. Seeing someone else as perfect, as infallible, doesn't help you. It may be a comfort for a while, but then when they're real, they make their mistakes, you're so disappointed. Oh my God, if I can't believe they can get it right, and I put all my faith that they would know. Nope, we all make our mistakes, and we all learn from them, and you're going to learn from yours. So, let's talk about it. Mistakes. One of the best mistake stories I ever heard was Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb and a lot of other things, known as the Wizard of Menlo Park. And somebody said to him, Mr. Edison, I understand that you failed 10,000 times before you got the light bulb right. How did that feel? And Edison looked at the guy and chuckled and said, no, it was a success. I learned 10,000 ways not to build a light bulb. Now, if anybody would say, oh my God, did I really get it screwed up? You know, he would have the right to do that, but there's no need for that. He understood making mistakes is how we learn. Making mistakes and owning the mistakes is how we move forward. That's where you need to go. Again, the number is 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. I know that there are several professional intuitives out there who said, ooh, ooh, this sounds like a great subject. Yes, yes, I want to call in. Well, now's your time, guys. So call in, share your stories. There's a great article about the virtue of admitting fault. The name I have on this is A. Pietrangelo. So whoever A is, thank you for sharing this with us. If you hate to admit that you've made a mistake, or when you're flat out wrong about something, you're not alone. Our politicians dig in their heels, refusing to back down even when their errors are exposed. Businesses and healthcare professionals often can't admit fault for fear of a lawsuit. We live in a culture that discourages admission of fault, but failure to admit fault can eat away at professional and personal relationships. Why is it so difficult to admit fault? Fear. We don't want to admit fault because we have an underlying fear of not belonging, of being shunned. Bad people don't fit in, so you don't want to admit fault. It's better to look as my action was wrong or I made a bad decision, not that I'm not a bad person. We don't like being wrong. It just doesn't feel good and it hurts our pride. We live in a competitive society where mistakes are oftentimes frowned upon. When we admit fault, it can feel like we were lost or we're just not good enough. It shows a side of ourselves that we sometimes want to keep hidden from other people. It shows that we're not perfect and we have faults, and sometimes we're just not ready to admit we're wrong. Admitting that we're wrong out loud can hurt or can lead to other consequences in our relationships. Some people believe it's a basic animal survival instinct. We instinctively respond as though we fear we're going to be killed if we're vulnerable. Because we're a society that focuses on right and wrong, people don't like to admit fault. They're afraid it diminishes them in the eyes of others and their own sense of self-worth will suffer. When you admit you're wrong, though, you make yourself a little more vulnerable, but you make the other person more vulnerable, too. Admitting fault and creating that vulnerability is a building block to intimacy, to trust. You can't trust unless you're willing to admit when you're not in the right. Without the ability to admit you're wrong or that you're sorry, you have no hope of being authentic or being in a great relationship, whether personal or with a client. Because relationships are give and take. One person can't always be right. There's no way that you can connect fully with someone if you're not willing to see another point of view or admit to being wrong. I'm going to stop right here and give an example. When I'm working with a client, sometimes my connection is off. I'm not perfect. I'm not God. And when they say to me, no, that isn't right, I'm not feeling that, then it's not for me to say, well, you'll get it later, which I know a lot of psychics do. I will ask them, why aren't you feeling it? It could be that I'm not describing correctly what I'm seeing. It could be I misunderstood the question that they asked. And when I back up, say, okay, I didn't get that right, let's try it again. It's not cold questions. Cold questions, for those who don't quite understand the phrase, are when a psychic says, all right, I'm seeing a female. Is your mother dead? What about your aunt? Maybe it's a sister. That, you know, when they ask leading questions. But asking questions to clarify so you know what the client is asking, and if you didn't get it, backtracking and going to what they wanted to look at, that is being of service. That's not, I'm not a good reader. If someone comes to me and asks a question, and it doesn't turn out to really be what they want, Part of my service is helping them reframe the question. They keep talking about the bad relationship that they have with their daughter and their son and their sister. And maybe what they really want to do is not concentrate on that, but why don't people like me? Why can't I communicate? If I don't step back and sense that, I can go down the wrong path. I can say, well, let's look at Doris, and then let's look at Stephanie, and let's look at Robert. And then she said, but I really don't care about all these single people. It's why can't I? And then it's my thing to say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question. Let's go back and look. People who say to me, well, a psychic should know everything before I open my mouth. You're not allowed to ask me questions. You just have to tell me. I can tell right there that they are not going to be happy with my style of reading. And I don't make the mistake of trying to get them to see things in my point of view or change how I read to suit them. I have to be true to who I am. I can tell them, all right, Roberta, this isn't how I read. For instance, a client recently, they had been coming to me every 6 months, then it was every 3 months, then it was every month. And I kept telling myself for a while, I can't keep doing this. But they would sound so desperate that I would read them again. When it started as every 2 weeks, and they wanted to connect with the higher self of the person they were having the problem with to understand why that person is so mean to them, that's when I had to put a stop to it. I will often say, you know, I have to be like a good bartender and cut you off. My mistake was in allowing my better judgment to get overridden by the desperation of the client. Because when someone is that desperate, they're not going to listen to what you're truly saying. They're going to listen to the little bits that they want to hear. If a client wants to know that the guy they just broke up with is going to come back to them, no matter how many ways you say, I don't see it, they'll usually come around, well, what about in 3 months? Well, what about if I did this, would he come back? Well, what about, and they're not listening. And it can be tempting to say, well, if you do this, just to get them to, to be happy with the reading. Those are the Madame Hoo-Ha's. That would be a mistake. It is not a mistake to say to them, I can't do that. It's not a mistake to say to them, you know, we've already gone too far in how many times a month I read you or how often I read you. Because you keep obsessing on the same question. So I'm no longer serving you. So I'm going to say that I need you to take a break for 6 months. You absolutely can do that. The mistake is not in refusing to read them. You are not mistaken by turning them away. The mistake would be continuing to go against your better judgment for them. The mistake is taking the money for what you know you can't deliver. Very often people will come to me with some very heavy-duty health stuff. Now, number one, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a medical intuitive specialist like my dear buddy Stacy Wells. I mean, that woman takes the cake. She is fabulous. So what I do is I will tell them I'm your primary physician, but I'm going to send you to a specialist. When they say, oh, but I need to know now, can't you look inside? You know, things like, am I going to die of this cancer? How long does my father have to live? You know, things like that. It is a mistake to answer those. To compromise my own professionalism. Even if you sense it's a desperate comfort they need, don't do it. Don't do it. I never predict a death. For one thing, it's illegal in 27 states. And for another, remember that there are lots of doorways that we leave through. It's not just one. There are four or five different places that the life sets up Am I leaving at 27? No, I guess I'll stick around. Am I leaving at 43? No, I have more to do. Am I leaving at 50? Yeah, I think I'm done. I've done everything I could. Then you leave. Now, I often use my example of the car accident I was in 2002, that by all rights should have, if not killed me, put me in a wheelchair. Took down a tree, a telephone pole, flipped the car, took down telephone wires, and no seatbelt. I walked out with a couple of bruises. At the time, I didn't realize how serious the accident was. Somebody else was driving. Probably my spirit guide. Thank you, Carl Amel. If someone had said to me, I see you dying in a car accident, I would have died of fright. Because I would have believed, oh my God, this is it. So when someone says, when am I going to die? When is Dad going to die? I consider it a mistake to answer those things. The very most I will say is make sure that every time you leave your father, you are content so that if he dies the next day, nothing is left unsaid. Because generally, you can get a feel if it's sooner or later. But if you say 6 months, where does that leave room for miracles? If the entire family figures he's going to die, they're sending up that thought pattern. And if they used to believe there could be a miracle and now they just shrug and, well, he's going to die in 6 months. My mistake is I've taken away their hope and maybe their faith. So, err on the side of caution. When it's with a client, the mistake is to give them what they want, even if it's not in their best interest in the long term, or it doesn't support your self-beliefs as an intuitive consultant. That's for clients. With other professionals, because this is where everything started with me, you don't diss them. Now, if you know that Swami Swalanda is known for preying on young girls, is known for, you know, giving past lives where he says, well, you were my slave in a past life and you blah, blah, blah. That is not dissing another psychic. That is protecting somebody. Dissing another psychic is, well, I don't like the way they read. Well, they didn't get me right, so they're probably bad. I mean, you can't say that. I'm one of the most difficult people in the world to read. Because my shields are strong, and I know myself that well. So, if somebody doesn't read me well, that doesn't mean they're a bad psychic. I would find out from other people. Do they read you well? Well, if it was just me, okay. Then they just can't read me. It would be a mistake to say bluntly, they are terrible. We intuitives, we lightworker professionals, we don't have a better business bureau. We have to police ourselves, yes, but that starts with policing the person in the mirror, looking at ourselves and saying, I must admit to my mistakes. Owning them doesn't make me less of a person. Owning them makes me stronger. The things that I'm going to give you are the last quotes. Two of my favorites are from Theodore Roosevelt, who with John Adams, you know, my two favorite presidents. I care not what others think of what I do, but I care very much about what I think of what I do. That is character. And the other one is, if you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month, which kind of puts the whole thing in perspective. So I hope that this has been a useful chat tonight, to allow you to forgive yourself for being human, forgive yourself for making mistakes, to understand that even as a professional, mistakes are valuable, and you will be more valuable to your clients and to your growth as a professional if you admit to them. Don't be a whiny butt on Facebook, but if a mistake is something you've learned from and you feel your clients can learn from it, don't be afraid to put it on either, because that's sharing your humanity. And that is really what people come to us for. Sharing humanity, sharing possibilities, sharing hope and answers. If you've enjoyed this week, be sure to tell your friends about Fire Through Spirit. You can always find us Thursday nights, 8 to 9 Eastern, 5 to 6 Pacific, on InPowerRadio.com. If you're looking for me in the meanwhile, you can find me at FireThroughSpirit.com. You can find me on Facebook at Fire Through Spirit. You can always contact me at Rev Corbie, R-E-V-C-O-R-B-I-E, RevCorbie@gmail.com. Or if you absolutely have to get to me right away, it's 877-321-CORBIE. That's 877-321-2672. Next week on Fire Through Spirit, I am very pleased to welcome back medical intuitive Art Gutkin and his wife, Carol. He was very popular last time, and people have been saying, when are you going to bring him back? We'll have him here to discuss more healing miracles, what you can do to support your own self with healing, with growth, with belief, with faith. Be sure to stay tuned for the Fark Man, David Franklin Farkas. He'll be with you after our show. And until next week, I leave you with this. Cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Don't be afraid of mistakes. Be fearless. Own them. Thank them for what they've taught you. And go on. If you're not making mistakes, then you're not doing anything, because a doer makes mistakes. Be a doer. Make a difference in the world. Dance. Fall down. Get back up. Until next week, this is Corbie Mitlide on Fire Through Spirit. Be well, be safe, have a good 7 days.